began this weekend with the singles, focusing their attention on why one would believe in God. And then on Saturday, many gathered to participate in the share, and I understand that that was a great success. This morning, there will be another emphasis. I am to highlight the material that is in the book by Matthew Morin, the first chapter of that book. The title of that first chapter is Christianity is a Blessing, Not a Burden. And I want that to really sink in. Christianity is a what? A blessing and not a what? A burden. In the book, he makes this statement, and I fully believe that he has touched the heart of why some are not as enthusiastic about evangelism. He makes this point. He says the reason some don't evangelize is because they are not even sure they are happy in the church. Most will say they enjoy being in Christ, but not the church. Many see being a member of the church like paying taxes. They pay their taxes because of the consequences of not paying them. But they fail to see the blessing. The blessings of paying taxes. We have the best trained military in the world. The best maintained road system in the world. Clean water to drink. A great postal system. Many other benefits people overlook. Attending worship at 8 o'clock in the morning, Bible class after that, working in a ministry, Sundays, weekdays, it's a task for many people. It's an obligation. It is demanding. Many fail to see the many earthly and eternal benefits that come from serving Christ and being in the church. Some see serving God, and he makes this point, I thought it was good. It's like the first appearance of a coconut. A coconut is not very attractive. Brown, hairy, pretty tough nut to crack. Makes it seem like it's useless, with little value. But if you can expend the energy and the effort required to crack it open, you will be richly rewarded with a tasty treat, both nourishing and bountiful. You can make a coconut cake, coconut candy, coconut drinks, and even oils to put into your hair and on your body. When you think in terms of Christianity, and he used 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 1 through the end of that chapter, and he used this particular passage in order for us to see the great benefit, the great blessings of being in Christ and in the church. What I want to do this morning, I want to take 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to expositionally carry you through it. And I'm hoping when I finish that you will be able to see Paul's view of his being in Christ and his being in the church And he saw it as a blessing and not a burden. And I pray, God, that he will help me to share with you from four vantage points. The vantage point of his ministry, the message that he had, the part that God plays in this ministry, and then his view of himself and all those of us who are the messengers who carry the message. Notice what he says in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians 4. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Here he puts the emphasis on the ministry. To wear the name of Christ, he saw this as a ministry. He saw it as a mission. So many of us need to understand that you cannot be a part of Christ without accepting the mission of Christ, the ministry of Christ, and to embrace the servitude that comes with being in the ministry and in Christ. It's amazing how that many people wanted Christ, desire to follow Christ, but Christ on many occasions helped them to understand that following me means ministry. Following me means mission. Following me carries with it difficulty. He will tell some who want to be with him and to follow him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have a nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus on another occasion will tell those who want to follow him, if you don't love me above your father, above your mother, your brothers and your sisters, yea, even above yourself, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus will say on another occasion, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to count up the cost. Don't start out with me and not realize the difficulty and the struggle and the pain, the persecution that's going to come with me. Jesus will help us to understand that his ministry is a mission. You and I cannot be a part of Christianity without seeing how this wonderful ministry of saving the world brings about the difficulty that comes with it. But when you look at this, you also see how that Paul has a high view of his ministry. He says, we faint not, is what he says, and have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We don't walk in craftiness. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully, but a manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In our ministry, we must be void of hidden agendas. We cannot in our ministry be dishonest with people. You and I must not be part of some fraudulent trickery that goes along with so many who broadcast and who seek to bring people into some mission. A lot of times there are hidden agendas that you don't see, but not with Christ. Christ's mission is open, it's honest, And it is one that has authenticity to it. Paul saw that, and he was willing to put his life on the line for the effectual benefit that came with this ministry. I beg all of us here this morning, you may be a doctor, you may be a lawyer, you may be an engineer, you may be even a housekeeper, whatever your vocation is, what I want you to see, that there is a ministry that is above your vocation. If you're a Christian, you have been called into this ministry. And I hope that when you go into all the fields of work that you do, see that you are a minister of those things that God has called you. And let us not faint in that. But then I like the fact that in this passage, he also speaks of the integrity of the message. Notice what he says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 3. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Watch him now. If our gospel be hid, if our message be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. I want to underscore to them that are lost. Everybody who hears the message and who are exposed to the ministry of Christ, many of them will not hear it. Many of them will not receive it. Many of them will be lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. When a man hears the gospel and he hears it and he does not accept it, don't be alarmed. Don't think that that's strange. Don't be discouraged because people will not receive the message of Jesus. He said these individuals are lost. They refuse to open their heart and their mind to hear the word of God. And the reason is because the devil has put blinders on them, a veil on them, keeping them from being able to see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The devil is busy. As you and I have a ministry, he has his ministry. We're trying to save men, and the devil wants men to be lost. He doesn't want them to see the light of Christ. He doesn't want them to be saved by Christ. He doesn't want them to enjoy eternal life. And so he brings cataracts and put them on the eyes of individuals. When they hear the preacher, don't listen to that man. Don't buy into that. That's foolishness. That's hypocrisy and all of those things. But I'm telling you, that's nothing but a veil. You and I need to know that our ministry is one that is without dishonesty. It's without hypocrisy. We don't do it deceitfully. And you have to be encouraged because you know that what we're doing is of God. And when people don't respond as you think they ought to respond, no, that's just the way it's going to be. And so please know how that we must never try to take the message. And I'm talking about the message now. Never try to make the message because people don't respond and people are not enthusiastic about what you and I are preaching and teaching. Don't feel that you have to try to make the message palatable for them. Don't feel like somehow I need to take the edge off, or I need to not emphasize this or stress this because that seems to be an irritant. That seems to upset people, and everybody's not ready to accept that. No, ladies and gentlemen, Paul is letting us know that we're going to have to understand that we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ, our Lord, and ourselves are the servants of Christ for Jesus' sake. So please know that we're an uncompromising people. Don't compromise the gospel. There are a lot of people who, when the gospel includes us being a member of the church, they will say, well, just Give your life to Christ. Don't worry about the church. No, you can't have Christ without the church. You have to be a part of the fellowship of the saints of God. You have to be involved in worship. That's why you and I must come together in order that we may commune with the Lord, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So I am simply saying to us, that's all part of the gospel. And you need to know that you and I need to be aware that men will spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, based on Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Don't compromise the gospel. Make sure that you and I are the carriers of that which God has said. Here's what Paul said in Galatians 6 and Galatians 1 and verse number 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto to another gospel, which is not another, but there are some who would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some who will trouble you. There are those who will pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here's what he said. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. You know what that means? Let him go to hell. Well, I know that didn't sound right. I mean, but let him, if I say it that way, it's not going to sound good. But I'm telling you that you will not make heaven your home if you preach another gospel. All right, forgive me for that and take that out of the thing. But now watch this now. Here's what he says. He says that our ministry is one that you and I have adopted. And make sure that you keep that ministry ahead of everything in your life. The message of Jesus Christ must not be added to nor taken from. Preach it and never compromise the message of God. And then also, here's the third point. He says in verse number 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hear what Paul does. Now he puts the emphasis on God. How that God has caused a light to shine out of darkness. He's going all the way back now to the creation. How that God said, let there be light. And that light, ladies and gentlemen, is that which illuminates and gives us the ability to know the things that exist. Without light, you and I will stumble in darkness. God is a God of light, and he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. But notice where he's done it. He has shined that light in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. God shined the light in the world that we would be exposed to the great creation that he has given. Now what he has done, he has given us Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and he shines that light in my heart. He shines that light into my intellect. He allows me to have the truth of his will, the truth of my existence. When a man is a Christian, you don't become a Christian simply because you got to come here every Sunday and because you have to be here on Wednesday, and then you have to listen to a preacher preach and a song leader lead a song and take the Lord's Supper. It's more than that. God is shining a light into your heart. God is opening up your intellect, allowing you to see something that you never would see unless you were part of his movement, part of his ministry, and a part of his worship and his particular calling upon our lives. Satan, I know, wants to darken our minds, veil our minds, but God is saying that I'm shining the light into the hearts of mankind. Now, watch this now. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 14, he said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So when a man has blinders on him, when a man has that veil the devil has put on him, when he hears these things, these spiritual things, he thinks it's foolishness. It's foolishness to talk about heaven. It's foolishness to talk about a devil. It's foolishness to talk about eternal life. But I'm telling you, those of us who allow the light of God to come into our heart and into our mind and expose us to his will, you and I will be a better people because of the light that God has given to us. We make judgments on things. When you look at Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, has allowed us to know the origin of things. I don't have any doubt about where things have come from. I don't have to stumble in darkness as to whether the world came from a big bang or try to go and spend billions of dollars going all out of space trying to find out how the world began. God has already given me the light. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't have to worry about it. I can sleep knowing that God created the heavens and the earth. That's the light that God has given to me. I know the difference between a man and animals. I know the difference between a man and his dog. Some people don't know the difference between their dogs and people, you know, because some dogs, amen, get more attention than men and women. But God helps me to understand that there is a difference between the animals and mankind. How do you know, Brother Gibbs? Because the Bible tells me in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7 that out of all of the creation, God took the dust of the ground and formed man in his own image and in his own likeness and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the light. That's the interest of my intellect to understand that I'm in the image of Almighty God. No bird, no fish, no bear, no creature is in the image of God. I'm in the image of God. That's the light that God has shined into my heart and allowed me to see that. And I got sense enough to know that I'm body, soul, and spirit. And when I die, this is light. This body may die, but my spirit lives on. How do you know that, Brother Gibbs? God put a light in my heart. God opened up my heart to see that I don't see. And don't let the devil tell you that it's like Rover. When Rover dies, it's all over. No. I know better than that. And so when death of my loved ones come, I don't have to mourn like those who have no hope. That's because God has given me light. The purpose of my life, I know what the purpose of my life is. The purpose of my life, God gave it to me. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Do what? Fear God and do what? And keep his commandment. That's what God tells me. Whatever I'm doing, I know that I must fear God, reverence God, make sure that God is top priority of my life. Let him lead me and guide me. And then I got sense enough to know that when this life is over, he's made a home for me eternally in the heavens. And as I close, so God is the administrator of this great light, this great gospel. And that's why Paul said, I have no problem going all across the world, preaching this gospel, telling this gospel, because there's some family who needs to know the truth of the gospel, needs to understand what God is asking of men. And then the last point is this. He looks at the messenger. And he says in this particular passage, look with me at verse number seven. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 8, well, verse number 7, what does the Bible say? Now watch this. But we have this what? Treasure in what? Now watch this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Watch verse number 8. We are troubled on what? Every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Going back to number 7, we have this treasure. What is the treasure? The treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our ministry. This is living out the gospel in a clay, in a clay utensil. That's the earthen vessel. The treasure is eternal. The earthen vessel is temporal. The treasure is that which gives us the wisdom to live in this life victoriously in spite of all the things that come into this earthen vessel that affect this earthen vessel. Now, being an earthen vessel, I am exposed to the elements of this life. I will not escape all of the rain, the storms, and all of the diseases that are here. Why? I'm an earthen vessel. I've got to wash my hands. I've got to make sure that I take medication. I've got to try to keep this body in a situation where it's able to fight off these infectious diseases. I know that I'm going to get old. I know that I can't stay young all the time. Why? Because I'm an earthen vessel. But this earthen vessel is being blessed to carry a treasure that comes from God Almighty. It's a treasure. It's the gospel treasure. And you watch the people who know God, who put their faith and trust in God. When this earthen vessel is affected, show you what happens. Go to verse number 8. Show you what happens with this vessel. We may be troubled on every side. Yet, when you have the gospel treasure, you're not what? Distressed. We are perplexed in this earthen vessel. But when you have the treasure of God, you're not in despair. Watch verse number 9, what the Bible says. We are persecuted in this earthen vessel, but not forsaken. We are cast down in this earthen vessel, but we are not destroyed. Verse number 10, watch what he says now. Always bearing about in the body, the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. I may be persecuted. I may be cast down. I may have all of these afflictions, yet I'm bearing in this body the gospel, the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, but that's also the victory that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in my body. I know this old body goes through trouble, goes through trials. I get discouraged. I find myself being vulnerable to this life, but because of being in Christ, I recognize that I am manifesting in this body the body and the life of Jesus Christ. When you see this, let me go on and finish. Watch what else the Bible says. Verse number 11. Watch verse number 11. For we which what? Live or what? Always what? Delivered unto what? Death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be what? Made what? Manifest in our what? Mortal flesh. That's that clay. I want Jesus, when I go through something, that Jesus is seen in my life. If I go through a divorce, if one goes through a divorce, I don't want to make that personal. If one goes through divorce, I pray God that in the midst of that divorce, that Jesus Christ is made manifest in that divorce. If I'm stricken with illness, may Jesus Christ be made manifest in that disease that has afflicted my body. If I lose my job, may I make sure that when people come around me, they see Jesus Christ being exuded from my life and my being. Why? Because he's being what? Made manifest in my mortal flesh. Watch verse number 12, and then I'm through. Watch what the Bible says. Well, verse 12, and I'm going to finish. So then, what? Death worketh in us, but what? Life in you. Now, that's Paul speaking. He said, now, I know death is working in this old body of mine, but it's life to you. Why? Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Watch verse number 13, what the Bible says. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. We speak. You got to tell folk about this Jesus. Tell them about him. Don't keep him hidden. Verse number 14, watch what the Bible says. Knowing that he which what raised up
the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Watch verse number 15. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Verse 16, watch this now. For which cause we faint not, but through our, though our what? Outward man, though this old clay, though it may what? Perish. Yet the what? The inward man is being what? Renewed how? Day by day. So look at the contrast. And then watch verse 17. Watch verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I know what this body, this, what we're going through is a light affliction, but it's working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You just hang on in here. Watch verse number 18. While we look not at the things which are what? Seen. But at the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which are what? Seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. And so that's what I want you to see. And that is that when you are a Christian, you're not looking at the temporal things. You're looking at the eternal things. And this is what people need. People need to be able to live above the fray of the troubles of this world and be able to accept the promises and live on the promises of Almighty God. It's a benefit. It's been a benefit for me for the 50 plus years that I have been preaching the gospel. It's a benefit for my family. It's a benefit for every family. And when you think about it, it's a benefit that you cannot buy. You cannot go to these schools and earn. It comes only when you accept Jesus and allow him to open your heart and your intellect to see the light of the gospel as it is distributed into the heart of mankind. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus, I'm asking you to accept him. You accept him by faith. You repent of your sin. You confess him to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism. And watch, when you come out, join the mission, join the ministry, keep it honest, tell people the truth. Know that everybody's not going to accept you, but know that it is a benefit when we leave this life and God opens up the portals of heaven and we're able to stand on that other shore and see that all that we have done has not been in vain. I pray that you'll come. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
What a friend we have in Jesus.